Welcome to the Old Time Radio Superman Show. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, adam@adamsweb.us. And be sure and check out our other podcasts, The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio and The Amazing World of Radio. Well, as I mentioned, we are missing part 9 of this serial, so we're going to go to the next available episode, which is part 10. The original air date is January the 15th of 1943. That was a Friday, so part 11, which will play on Wednesday without any further introduction, will be dated January the 18th, 1943. But let's go ahead and listen to Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird,
it's a plane,
it's Superman!
Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another world who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. But before we join Superman, here is an important message.
Hey, gang, here's the story of two daring Marines who lived in a series of foxholes for 5 long days before they managed to escape. These particular Leathernecks got separated from their comrades during a battle.
Come on, come on. Duck into this cave here.
Right.
We'll be safe enough here. When it gets dark, we'll crawl out. Hey, Sam. There's an American destroyer anchored offshore.
Huh?
If we get down there, we're okay.
They'll catch us, Bill.
No, they won't.
We'll wait here till it's real dark.
And then we'll sneak out, see?
For 5 long nights, these two Leathernecks crawled in and out of foxholes, through underbrush, with only a bottle of water and some iron rations. At last...
Bill.
Hey, Bill.
We're almost there.
Look through this hedge. I can see her. Our destroyer. Let's make a run for the beach.
Gee, fella. I'm half dead.
You go ahead.
Nothing doing, pal. You're coming along with me.
Come on now. Put your arm around my waist. That's it. We'll make a break for it.
Okay.
Come on, fella. Into the water. They can't get us there.
Yes, they made it. Now, fellas and girls, for those Marines, it was all in the game. But you and I know that a fella has to be in top-notch physical condition to come through an ordeal like that. And speaking of endurance, here's a tip. None of us can expect to have plenty of zip and energy unless we eat right. And eating right includes getting all our vitamins. And say, I don't know a better way to start getting 2 mighty important vitamins, B1 and D, than by helping yourself to a swell big bowl full of crisp, crunchy Kellogg's Pep every morning. And believe you me, anybody who's had a taste of those graham, sweet-as-a-nut flakes can tell you what a super delicious treat Pep is. So ask your mother to get you a package of swell-tasting Pep tomorrow. And start right away having a mighty good breakfast that's mighty good for you. Remember the name now, Pep. P-E-P. Pep is made by Kellogg's in Battle Creek, Michigan.
And now, the adventures of Superman. As you remember, editor Perry White has financed the experiments of Dr. Leander Cameron, the eccentric scientist who built a greatly improved model of a mechanical man that can not only speak, see, and walk, but can think for itself as well. Realizing the great value of such a robot to the nation at war, a notorious master criminal called the Vulture stole the model and offered to sell it to the Japanese government. He was prevented from doing this by Superman, who nabbed him in the nick of time, took him to police headquarters, and had him put in jail. As our last episode ended, however, word was received by Perry White that the Vulture, a masterful makeup artist, had escaped and was once again at large. Our scene is now police headquarters. Perry White and Clark Kent are just entering the office of Inspector Henderson. Listen.
Well, Henderson, this is a fine mess, I must say.
No, Perry.
Now, don't you now Perry me. My paper is a force in Metropolis, and by George, if you can't show just cause for letting that man escape, I mean, if you can't prove that this isn't criminal negligence on your part, I'll plaster this story all over the front page of the Daily Planet and see to it that you're thrown out of office.
Now, hold on, Perry. You're talking as if I deliberately let this man escape.
Sure, take it easy, Chief. Criminals escape all over the country, you know, even from large prisons.
Now, look here, Kent.
Well, I suppose I have gotten a little too heated.
Yeah.
But by heaven, Henderson, when I think of Superman capturing this man who, by your own account, is the most notorious criminal in the world...
Yes, and then he escapes. I know, Perry, I know.
No, you don't know a tenth of it. Do you realize what this escape means, Henderson?
Of course. It means that a master criminal is at large.
It means more than that. It means that once again he'll try to get his hands on the model of the mechanical man.
Exactly.
Now, you've nothing to worry about there. You told me that you yourself had seen the model deposited in the vault of the Metropolis City Bank.
Vault, vault. What do vaults mean to a man of this caliber? This man is the Vulture, the Houdini of the underworld. If he could break out of your prison here, he can certainly break into a vault.
Wait a minute, Chief.
Oh, really, Perry, you're getting much too excited. I know those vaults at the bank. He couldn't possibly break into them.
All right, all right, all right. But if anything happens, well, never mind. How did the Vulture escape?
Well, he sawed through the bars of his cell window with a hacksaw.
What?
Inspector, you don't really mean he got away with an old trick like that?
Yes, Kent, he did.
But didn't you search him thoroughly before putting him into a cell?
Perry, we certainly did. We gave him a thorough going over. He was stripped clean and every bit of his clothing examined carefully.
Then where the devil did he get that hacksaw blade?
You got me. It couldn't have been passed to him because no one was allowed to see him. As for the guards, everyone is trustworthy. Been with me for years.
I think I know how he did it.
What? You do?
Mm-hmm. Kent, if you can explain, I'll be in your debt for life.
May I see the blade?
You certainly may. I have it right here in my desk drawer. There. Here it is, wrapped in tissue. Yeah, there you are.
Well, start explaining.
Just as I thought. Huh? This man really is a clever criminal. I'm afraid he deserves the title I've given him, Houdini of the Underworld. He's even borrowed one of Houdini's tricks.
Well, what do you mean, Kent?
Yes, Kent, for heaven's sake,
explain. I'm not sure of this, since I never knew Houdini personally, but someone once told me that Houdini could conceal things in his throat.
What's that?
Yes, getting the idea from circus sword swallowers, Houdini learned to hold something inside his throat merely by contracting the muscles at the side of his throat. As I understand it, he used to carry a small lockpick, a file, or even a specially constructed hacksaw blade in just that way.
Amazing.
And this little instrument here is certainly no ordinary hacksaw blade. No, the Vulture obviously had it constructed especially for that purpose.
Kent, I believe you're right. You must be right. There's no other way he could have done it.
Well, I'll be hanged. Concealed inside his throat. Why, it's amazing. It's unbelievable.
Well, it must be true, Mr. White. By the way, what are you doing about the Vulture, Inspector?
Well, for one thing, there's a statewide alarm for him.
Oh, then as soon as he's located, your men will bring him in. They're pretty sure to find him.
I wish I could be as sure. The Vulture's awfully tricky. The police force of the entire nation have been after him for years. That's why I was so overjoyed when Superman brought him in.
Yes, and that's why I was so burned up over his escape.
It's too bad he gave you the slip, but there's no point in crying about it now. The important thing is we've got to see to it that he doesn't get his hands on that model of the mechanical man.
Oh, well, that's safe in the bank vault. I don't see how he can get it.
And you didn't see how he could escape either.
Now, Perry...
However, we've got to be sure. Let's see, what time is it?
Almost 7.
The bank is closed now, but I think this will be worth our trouble.
What will be worth our trouble? What do you want to do?
Now, look, Mr. White, you know the president of the bank, don't you?
Yes, yes, so what?
I want you to call him and have him meet us at the bank in, say, half an hour.
Yes, but do...
Inspector, I want you to give us a squad of men to stand guard at that vault as long as the model remains in it.
Now, gladly, Ken, gladly.
But I want to go even further than that.
Yeah?
I want to be absolutely sure the model is really inside that vault before we post the guard. That's why I want the bank president to come down and open it.
Oh, now I see what you're driving at. We'll open the vault, make sure the model is there, then post the police car.
Exactly. And that way, nothing can possibly go wrong.
Very good. Excellent idea, Kent. I'll rest easier when that's done.
Look here, Kent. You don't really think the Vulture's gotten to that vault already?
You never know, and we shouldn't take any chances.
I guess you're right.
Here's the phone, Chief. You better call the president of the bank right away.
Right. Now, let's see. Now, what's his home number? Oh, yes. ME498.
A short while later, Clark Kent, Editor White, Inspector Henderson, and a police squad meet the president of the Metropolis City Bank outside the door of the bank.
And of course I'll do anything you say, Perry, but this doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, perhaps not, John, but believe me, it is important.
We just want to be sure the model of the mechanical man is actually in the vault before posting a guard, Mr. Parsons.
Very well. Wait just one minute. I'll ring for the night watchman. I can't understand your not believing that the model is there, because...
We don't believe it's been stolen. We just want to be sure. The man who's after it is probably the cleverest criminal in the world, and we're just not taking any chances.
Clever or not, he'd never get into our vaults, I can tell you that. Ah, here comes the watchman now. He's a new man.
Yes? What is it?
Your name, Hawkins?
Yes, sir. Oh, you must be Mr. Parsons, the president. You telephoned a little while ago and said you'd be coming down.
Yes. You can unlock that grilled railing, Hawkins.
Yes, sir.
Bring him in, Henderson.
All right, man. This way.
Okay.
Now, show us to the vaults, Hawkins.
Yes, sir. This way. Can you see all right in the glow of my flashlight?
Oh, yes, but you'd better snap on the lights in the vaults when we get there.
Yes, sir. Down these steps. Here we are. I'll just snap on these lights.
Ah, that's the vault there.
Yes, I'll open it for you, Perry.
Oh, thanks, John.
Won't take a minute. Not when you know the combination. Now then, let's see. Ah, there we are. Now to turn this handle. Here she comes. There's an automatic light inside.
Oh, yes, I see the model, all right. Safe and sound, thank heavens.
Well, you better be sure, though. Let's have it out here and make certain it's really the model and not just a dummy substitute.
You're right, Chief. It's best to be thorough.
Suit yourself.
I'll get it, sir, in just a minute. Here you are, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. That's the model, all right, complete with control panel. Well, I'm satisfied. You, Chief? Inspector?
Looks okay to me.
Yes. Here, put it back.
Yes, sir.
And lock the vault, Hawkins, while we're still here.
Yes, sir. All right, Inspector. You can post your guard now.
Right, Perry. And let me tell you, the vote will never get past these men.
Well, I hope not. Mr. Parsons, is that door properly locked?
It certainly is, Mr. Kent. No one can get in or out without the combination. And only our vice president and I know that.
Good. Well, my mind's at rest. Vulture or no, Vulture, I'll sleep peacefully tonight. You'll be here in the morning, John?
Yes, Perry, why?
Well, I've got to demonstrate that model for Colonel Young in the Air Corps at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'd like to pick up the model at, 9:30, huh?
I'll be here, never fear. See you then at 9:30 tomorrow night.
The following morning at 9:30, Clark Kent and Perry White enter the office of John Parsons, president of the Metropolis City Bank.
Well, Perry, right on time, I see.
Yes, I have to be. As I told you, Colonel Young is meeting me at my office at 10.
Can we go right down to the vault, Mr. Parsons? I want to get that model.
Certainly, Mr. Kent. Come along. Here's a private staircase leading down from my office. Through this door. I hope you slept well last night, Perry, after all those precautions you took.
It's a funny thing, but I just couldn't sleep. My nature, I guess. Once I start worrying about something, I just can't get it out of my head.
Can't blame you for that. Ah, here we are. Now, there's Inspector Henderson's police guard still on duty, you see.
Yeah, so I see. Morning, Sergeant.
Morning, sir.
Everything all right during the night?
Everything just perfect, sir. No one even tried to get past us.
Good. Well, open her up, John, and I'll take the mechanical man with me. Oh, by the way, Sergeant, I called the inspector this morning before coming over. You and your men are to act as bodyguard to my office.
Okay, sir. Glad to.
There we are. Now then, I'll just turn this handle and open comes the door of the vault.
I'll certainly be glad when this business is over and done with. Hand the model out, John. John.
Perry. Mr. Parsons, what is it, sir?
Well, John, why are you looking at me like that? You can't mean...
Oh, no, it can't be. It couldn't be.
It's gone. The model of your mechanical man is gone. And look, this was lying in its place.
A tiny wooden carving of a bird. A vulture.
Once again, the vulture has struck. But how did he accomplish it? In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Superman. But right now, here is another important message.
Say, gang, my pal Jerry Link is in training now for the basketball team, and he comes home mighty hungry these days. Now, of course, he's got to go easy on sweets and pastries, but he solved that one all right. He just pours himself a big bowl full of Kellogg's Pep with plenty of milk, and boy, does it hit the spot. You see, Pep is made from the very choicest parts of sun-ripened wheat, so you get plenty of real, flavorsome goodness right from the start. And then it's carefully toasted so as to make it extra crisp, extra good fun to eat. In fact, Pep is really good for you as well as grand tasting. So if you've been missing out on this grand treat so far, don't pass it up any longer. Ask your mother to get you a package of delicious Kellogg's Pep tomorrow. And remember...
Pep, Pep, get in step. Make your cereal Pep.
And now, back to Superman. Well, what do you think is the solution to this latest puzzle? How did the vulture get past the police guard and steal the mechanical man again? There are exciting adventures in store for us in our next episode, so be sure to tune in Monday. And every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station. Tune in and follow the adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky.
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
This is Mutual.